And now, for just a moment, let me take you back in time. You're sitting in a hard, unforgiving student desk. You're toying with your pencil, and there's chalk dust floating in the sunlight as the teacher writes on the blackboard.
So what have we got on this left-hand side? A linear combination. It's a linear combination now of three vectors, and they happen to be, each one is a three-dimensional vector. So we want to know what combination of those three vectors produces that one. So it's some multiple. Let me draw in the first column as before. So x is 2 and y is minus 1. Maybe there's the first column.
That's actually a lecture on how to solve a linear algebra problem from MIT, not a high school, but you get the idea. And you get the picture as well. Bored students, some of them are texting, perhaps some of them falling asleep on their notebooks. Many of them, if we believe the statistics, aren't passing the class that they're in. The tedious algebra class is a common scene in the movies, but it's also a problem for many students who can't pass and they end up dropping out. And so Andrew Hacker asks, why teach algebra at all? Andrew Hacker is a professor of political science at Queens College in New York. He wrote an editorial on this for the New York Times called Is Algebra Necessary? And Professor Andrew Hacker joins us from New York. Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Celeste, it's good to be with you.
I'm in the position here, oddly enough, considering my grades in algebra, to defend algebra here, because is it so wrong for kids to come up against a class that is difficult for them, to expect them to kind of expand their horizons and face the possibility of failing?
If you found algebra worthwhile, Celeste, hurrah for you. If you found it a good part of your education, even a liberal art, enhanced your understanding of the world, again, I congratulate you. But for the vast majority of students, algebra is an ordeal. And currently, in any given school year, we have 6 million students suffering through algebra at any given time. And my question is, why?
The answer, certainly according to many educators, is that algebra teaches basic mathematic principles that they'll need if they're going on to STEM subjects or even things like statistics, business administration, as they get further along. And, you know, statistics are a huge part of our world at this point. I mean, aren't they going to need algebra in some form or another?
What I'm hearing from you, Celeste, if I may say so, is the standard story. First of all, when it comes to STEM occupations, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, only about 5% of all Americans, only about 6 million out of 150 million employed Americans, use STEM skills in their jobs. The other 95% of us don't. Now, what we do need, and here I'm totally, I strongly believe this, is quantitative skills. How to read statistics, use statistics. When somebody tells us that, say, the Health Care Act is going to bankrupt us, to know how to look at the figures. That is very important. But you don't learn that in algebra.
Many teachers, you say in your editorial, teachers say that algebra is the reason why kids drop out. That seems like an amazing sort of leap. How do we connect the dropout rate to algebra?
When you talk to teachers, and by the way, in the course, I'm working on a book on this subject, so I've traveled around the country, I've sat in on classes from the state of Michigan down to Mississippi, talked to teachers and students, and what the teachers tell me is the largest single academic reason why students drop out of high school is algebra. And by the way, 25% of our ninth graders do not make it to graduation. That's a scandal. And algebra, which, you know, hardly any of them will ever need, is the main reason. And by the way, I might say in passing, if they do need algebra, let's say if they're working in a Toyota plant in Mississippi, and I've talked to people there, you go to a local community college where they teach you machine tool mathematics, which is exactly geared to making that Toyota.
Isn't it, to a certain extent, a problem with the way algebra is taught? For example, there's lots of people who say, I never understood algebra until I got this one teacher who made it all understandable, comprehensive, and actually interesting to me.
Okay, you can have a great teacher in any field. But my question once again is, why algebra? Now, I realize mathematics is one of humanity's greatest intellectual creations. It certainly is. Someone once called it the poetry of the universe. Galileo said mathematics is the language of nature. I'd love to have students learn about mathematics, and we could have courses in the history of mathematics, the philosophy of mathematics, but I'd like to make it an elective. And let me add this. If it is taught in an enticing, attractive way, word will get around and students will sign up. If I may, Celeste, let me give you a figure. Last year, 1.6 million people got bachelor's degrees in this country. 1.6. Do you want to guess how many of those were majors in mathematics? 1%. Less than 1%. Less than 15,000 chose to major in mathematics. And do you know why? It's because mathematics faculties, both at the high school and the college level, do not make it the kind of subject the students want to learn more about. So they've had, over 100 years, they've had conscripted classes, 6 million each year, and what do they yield? 15,000. Now, you know, that's quite an indictment.
We're going to continue this conversation in a moment after a break in headlines with Professor Andrew Hacker of Queens College, New York. But let's start with the idea of what you replace algebra with.
Okay. I'm not sure I like the title, but it's a working title. I want a sequence of courses called Citizen Statistics. Now, this is not dumbing down. This is not how to balance your checkbook. But as I indicated before, let's give students, a couple of hundred pages of printout with all sorts of ideas and tables from all sides on what's going to happen with the new Health Care Act. And let them go through it, research it, find out what are the facts, what are the fictions, what do we know, what are we guessing about. And that, by the way, contrary to dumbing down, will be more difficult, more rigorous than geometry.
One of the reasons that you think algebra is good is because of quantitative reasoning. You just don't feel it's the best way to teach students that. I mean, abstract reasoning skills, those are important not just for a writer, but for somebody in terms of choosing a career, making any kind of major purchase, if they have to run a business. If they don't learn those kind of things in algebra, which I should mention is sort of the gateway drug, right, to all the higher maths, they don't learn it in algebra, where should they, how do they learn it?
Celeste, you're back, if I may say so, to the standard story that algebra and mathematics generally sharpens our mind, makes us more, gives us critical reasoning faculties and so on. Total fiction. For example, let's suppose we have a real problem as to decide what to do about Iran. What should be America's policy posture toward Iran? Do we really think that somebody who studied algebra will have a more cogent opinion on Iran than somebody who has studied, let's say, theater? I mean, this is the people who have a vested interest in keeping algebra going. Those who accept the myths and mystiques will say virtually anything to defend it. If you want to have something that's really difficult, so people sweat and strain and feel pain, make them learn ancient Aramaic.
Well, that seems to be completely unnecessary unless you're going to deal with those kind of texts. But, you know, part of the reason why you learn algebra, as I mentioned, is that it does lead to some of the higher maths and some of the concepts that you deal in with that. If you buckle down, you can learn them. I mean, it's good for kids to have a challenge.
Okay, sure. Algebra leads to calculus and it goes on to number theory and everything else. Now, a couple of medical schools, Harvard, Johns Hopkins, require calculus for all their medical school applicants. It's a completely unnecessary hoop and hurdle that calculus is never used in medical practice. Doctors will tell you that. But Harvard and Johns Hopkins like to make it a requirement so they can say, look how tough we are. You know, this is just, as I keep using the word myths here, but it's what's gripped us. Certainly, I want people to have more quantitative skills. And there's now, for example, at Harvard, at the undergraduates, a sequence called quantitative reasoning. That's great, but it doesn't require any algebra, in fact, no math above long division and ratios.
You know, I we have about a minute left, Andrew, but could you kind of address the issue of competition with other, will getting rid of algebra make us lag behind other Western nations?
Oh, absolutely. We rank 25th in mathematics on what's called the PISA scores, the international competition. Korea, Finland are ahead of us. But because they know math doesn't make them industrially or entrepreneurially any more adept, what the math scores tell us is their students are persevering. They work and continue to work diligently at something hard. Hey, I'd love to have our students do that too.
Andrew Hacker is a professor of political science at Queens College, New York. His editorial for the New York Times is called "Is Algebra Necessary?" Andrew, thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome, Celeste.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.